Exposing government corruption, defending our suspended constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth, the puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the new world order. Prepare yourself. This is the alternative media.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is the Alternative Media. I am still your host, Patrick Slattery. Farron is he's off on his important mission. He will be getting coming back one of these days, I promise you. But for now, it's me, Patrick Slattery, and we're going to have a very exciting show today. We've got today as a guest, we have Dr. David Duke. He will be joining us shortly. We're just trying to reach him now. As you know, I'm a very frequent guest on his show, and so I'm returning the favor. And there's certainly a lot to talk about. You know, this has been a really eventful week. You think of this past week, a week ago, at this point, you had, you know, these two pretenders to the throne, to the Republican throne, John Kasich and what's his name, that guy from Canada. Fred Cruz, yeah, I think that's his name, and a week ago it seemed as if you know, the neocons were going to try to use Cruzman Sachs, Senator Cruz, and John Kasich, some means of blocking the Trump nomination, and that's just all blown up in their face, and now we've got the presumptive nominee, Donald Trump. And so things have really changed a great deal in the past week. And I believe now we have Dr. Duke with us. Dr. Duke, are you there?
Yes, I'm glad we finally got connected. How are you doing?
All right. Well, you didn't miss much at all. We're 1 minute into the show. And I'm just starting the show by, you know, this is a weekly show, unlike your show, which is a daily show on the Rents Radio Network here on on the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is a 3-hour marathon show every Saturday night. And so there's a lot to catch up on. So there was that, yeah. You could call it a big election, Indiana, but following on, six other primary elections over the past couple of weeks, with Donald Trump not just winning all seven states, but I'm not sure of the final results from Indiana. I think it's probably the same, but those other six states, Pennsylvania, New York, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Delaware, Maryland, Trump won every single county with the exception of one, the home of Goldman Sachs and Wall Street. That New York County, which is Manhattan, it's the borough of Manhattan in New York City, the one county out of, you know, the couple hundred counties that voted in the past few weeks, the one county he didn't win. Pretty amazing.
Which is, interestingly enough, the center of Jewish power in America, probably in the world.
Absolutely. The center of
Jewish power. And that's the county that he lost.
The one county he lost.
That should tell us a lot, shouldn't it? By the way, I've got some people emailing me. Pardon me. It's been a long day for me. And they're asking me how to listen to the show. So how's the easiest way for someone to find your show right now during the broadcast? They still got a lot of time to hear your show tonight. What's the easiest way for them to find it on the internet?
Well, you can go to republicbroadcasting.org. And engineer, please tell me. I am a substitute. Tell me if I'm making a mistake on this. Republicbroadcasting.org, and there's a way to click. And republicbroadcasting.org. That's correct.
And which shows?
And you'll find the listener the listen live link there. Also, there is there is a number you can call and listen via your cell phone. And that would be 605.
Just a second. Okay, 605.
I'll repeat it. It's going to be 605-562-5111. That's 605-562-5111. And that's the... Okay, so that's for listening live. And so one way or another. And then if they miss the show, I've been I haven't found them on the Republic Broadcasting archives yet. They will be up there eventually, but I've been putting them on YouTube. And so if you go to the Patrick Slattery channel, you'll be able to find them on YouTube if for anybody who misses them. And I'm sure this is a show that you're not going to want to miss. This is so much has been going on. And to me, what's amazing, because, you know, this past week I've been watching on, you know, all the pundits on CNN and PBS. These are the two channels I've been watching mostly the past week. David Brooks, who you mentioned David Brooks very often because he had that infamous editorial column where he said that he was talking to another Jewish woman after a speech, and the Jewish woman came up to him after one of his speeches and said, "You realize what you're talking about is the Jewish takeover of America." And he said that he realized it was, she knew he was Jewish, he knew she was Jewish, and that was the truth, that that's what they were talking about. And I think what's going on here is there was a victory lap. They were running their victory lap over the past couple of years. And this, maybe this election was even just going to be the coronation. I saw, you know, Emily Bazelon, one of these Jewish pundits from either Salon or Slate, I think from Salon, but she also teaches at Columbia University. She's, you know, one of these very well-connected Jewish women, and she'd been on the Colbert Report, celebrating that that whites were on the verge of becoming a minority in the United States. You know, and Colbert was, at the time, he was still doing his conservative shtick, and he kind of didn't exactly call her out on that. He said, "Is that something to celebrate?" "Oh yes, because diversity is our strength." So you saw a lot of this. Sarah Silverstein, who Dr. Duke, we've talked about often on your show. Sarah Silverstein, about a year ago, was on Saturday Night Live, which we're going to be going head to head against in about an hour, and she did a mock commercial. It was one of these public service commercials. It was like, "Oh, remember white people? We're still the majority for a little bit longer, not for much longer, but we've had a good run. We've been kind of naughty, but we've had a good run. But we're going to be here for long enough. We're going to have at least four more white presidents, even if some of them have to be girls." And this was her commercial. This was the victory. They thought they were doing a victory.
It's amazing the hateful, nasty, and excessive attacks that they've made against European Americans, the horrible attacks they've made against us, excuse me. It really is amazing. And it's like they have no bounds to what they say. A good example is, of course, Jamie Foxx, who is the star of Django. Of course, the words that he spoke in Django about, you know, killing white people and get paid for it, what's not to like, were not words that he made up. Those were words that, you know, the Jewish producers and the owners of the studio wanted him to say. And but he also went on Lorne Michaels' Saturday Night Live, another Jewish, big Jewish production. And he gets up there and he joking around and saying, "Boy, it's, you know, in this movie, I got to kill all the white people in the movie. You know, isn't that great?" Or something along that line. "But how great is that?" he says. I mean, my God. I mean, and so, but the interesting thing that I'm seeing now, which we've been talking about this week on the David Duke program, the fascinating thing is that, today, we got young people who are turning the whole satire around, and they're saying totally, satirical things and way out things about well, the Jewish extremists that are running this country, running this media, running our political system, controlling the political financing, controlling the media. And so now they're making just as bad of jokes about killing black people. They're making them like, and they, for instance, they'd love to take on the Holocaust. And what they do is they just totally say, "Oh, yeah, I'm one of those people who, yeah, I understand there were 6 trillion Jews killed," you know, this kind of thing. You know, and I'm just one of those guys that want to kill 6 trillion Jews, and I'm going to get my oven mitts on for you guys to come. What they're doing is they're being so extreme; it's just a joke. They're ridiculing and they're mocking the Jewish.
And it's openly a joke. It's openly a joke.
Yeah, it's mocking their narrative, and of course, the Jewish media still writes this. as they're serious, you know, in a way to try to show how horror it is. But then, but the average person out there has been seeing all these, Twitter comments and remarks and seeing something different. I got some really good news though for you and your audience tonight.
Well, I'd like to hear it.
Well, the other day, as you know, when the movie first came out, it's called, Trump and it's called, what is it called? A parody, 300. The parody, Donald Trump, Make America Great Again. It was a very interesting video that was made. Very funny, very unique video, 6 minute long, where Trump was interspersed, and they also put George Soros and Jews interspersed in this short clip of the movie 300. And they put Trump in there with his rhetoric and all that, and they got very few views. We linked it on our site. They started getting a bit more views. And then finally, they still didn't really take off. And finally, I decided we have a pretty good reach now on Facebook and a pretty good reach on Twitter. So I began to promote it on there, and we actually posted the video itself, a unique post, which gives it more power on Facebook, on to Facebook the other day. And the last couple days, in fact, the last 24 hours, the video has just literally taken off. It is absolutely amazing. My Facebook page is called Dr. David Duke Fan Page. That's the I have the regular page, and the public officials have what you call a fan page, which enables you to have a lot more friends than just the 5,000 limit on a normal Facebook page. But anyway, we posted this video up there, and let me give you some of the stats right now. You can look at the page and see what they are, but according to under the video, pardon me, I'm losing my voice a little bit today. I've done a number of interviews today. We had 778,521 people reached by that video.
Wow.
I mean, amazing. I'm talking about in the last 20 hours. Last 20 hours. Okay. We now have on this video from my Facebook page, which also gets all the rest of my articles, we now have 7,539 shares, which means basically 7,539 people on Facebook on their own pages have shared this video and shared my link to this video. And, of course, the average Facebook page is anywhere from a few dozen to thousands, tens of thousands, some people, depending on the kind of site it is. And we've had and then the post reach is the number of people who've been reached directly by the posts of your, you know, of your Facebook page. In other words, read your posts, seen your posts, shared your posts, those kind of things. And let's see what we have right now. We, since yesterday, we've had over 900,000 post reaches from the site. Now, that's not just this video, but no, 900,000. It's coming in right now at between 40 and 70,000 additional post reaches or people being reached by our Facebook page per hour. In other words, the biggest Trump rallies have been is 35,000 people. It right now, we're doing the equivalent in the number of people as two Trump rallies, you know, every hour. Around the clock, basically. So we're beginning to really make a big change. And if you haven't seen that video, it is an amazing video, and it's well worth watching. It's called 300, Making America Great Again. You can catch it, and I would suggest you go to my Facebook page. If you're not signed up for Facebook, you should definitely do it. But my Facebook page is Dr. David Duke, all one word, and put fan page in there, and you can find that in Google. And watch it there, and also then share it if you have a Facebook page, or just simply give some links to your friends.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, if you're not on Facebook, you can go to davidduke.com, and you'll find it near the top of the page there, too.
Yeah, you can. Or you can look it up by itself as a video. But that's pretty amazing. I mean, it really is an amazing video, and I'll tell people this. I don't think I've ever enjoyed 6 minutes of a video, made more impact, that I laughed harder and felt better about a 6 minute video of my life than this one. I thought it was just absolutely amazing. They had George Soros, you know, as the invader of Greece.
Yeah, he's the he's emperor's Xerxes.
Yeah, that's right. And they had, of course, Leonidas. You know, Donald Trump was Leonidas, and one of Donald Trump's daughters, basically gets rid of Ben Shapiro, one of these Jewish neocons, stabs him. And of course,
little Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, and
who's played by like a child almost. I mean, they have him on a child's face or on a child's body.
That's his real face. Ben Shapiro is like a midget. Well, he's not a midget, but in fact they joke about him. They call him a manlet. Manlet. Yeah. And this guy is a disgusting. And I don't mind. I'm kind of getting like Trump these days, even though I'm usually much more soft spoken than Trump in some things. I speak more cuttingly and those more factually and more strong and about a lot of subjects than he does. I talk about the Jewish question, which he doesn't dare talk about. I even talk about European Americans, and I don't just think African Americans would be in my rally or Mexican Americans would be in my rally. I would say, and thank you as well, European Americans, you know, who are the heart and soul of our movement, and without them we wouldn't have a country. I don't think I'm an enemy of African Americans or our people of Spanish descent or even Mexicans that are in this country, been here for a long time. I don't consider myself their enemy at all. And I think that'd actually be better for them than the Jewish establishment for sure. But it really is amazing, isn't it, that Hillary Clinton, they can speak about, you know, Mexicans and say what we're going to do for Mexicans, that Republicans can do it. But nobody, including Donald Trump, really can't say, and thank you too, European Americans. And of course, just about every face in his, meetings are European Americans. So that's kind of an interesting thing to prove the position, the so-called privilege of white people in America, isn't it? When people can't even say a positive word or even mention white people as a group, even when you have white people completely in a place like that, that you're, there's usually more black people or Mexicans on the stages of Trump meetings than there are in the audience. But Trump couldn't dare say, thank you, white people.
Well, one thing I would love for somebody out there to do, it's the type of thing that university students should be doing. This is the type of thing that you should be able to do as a project for a class, but you can't. But it would be to pick a night of network television or a week of nightly news shows, or commercials, and just do a statistical analysis of the number of negative remarks that are made about white people. Because, you know, I'm sitting, when I'm watching TV, I'm constantly taking record of things like that. I take record of who's on the news, who's if somebody's being interviewed, it's gotten to be pretty easy because Wikipedia has gotten to the point where it's pretty accurate about people's backgrounds. You can check their background, so I see what their background is. Look at the commercials, and I take a demographic survey of the people in commercials. And, you know, the demographics of commercials is very, very different from the demographics of the United States. It's certainly not a reflection of our country. It's amazing. You would think that the plurality in our country. But the negative remarks, negative jokes, if you watch, the late shows, whether it's Saturday Night Live or Colbert's news show or whatever, the negative remarks that are made, we've been around for 200 years. We've been kind of naughty. Or, you know, if they're talking about...
They say horrific things these days.
Oh, it's right. Now, and you had brought up some
of the
young people.
They say, isn't it great? I mean, you know, even in these conservative publications, these Jewish run, like senior editor Jonah Goldberg, who I talked about earlier. And by the way, the Jewish neocons have totally outed themselves now with our help. With your help, my help, our program that we do, this program, and so many other people, including... literally hundreds of thousands of young people who they call trolls. That's an interesting name for them, but they go on the media. They've been totally outed as showing how that they're not really even true conservatives. They're not true Republicans. They're not true Americans. That they'd even be, you know, they even want Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump.
Oh, Dr. Duke, we're coming up on a break.
All right.
This is our bumper music. So we'll be back after the break. Or with alternative media.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen. Bum, 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 bum. Give him two lips like roses and clover. Bum, 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 bum. Then tell him that his lonesome nights are...
by the door. He fell in love with an Indian maid over in the antique store. Kalijah.
And we are back. This is the Alternative Media. I'm your host, Patrick Slatter, and today we have with us Dr. David Duke. And
did you pick out that music, or
that's Hank Williams?
Got that music?
Oh no, I've been experimenting with a bunch of different music. I had Andrew Anglin on last week, and he had suggested using exclusively the theme songs from Japanese animated cartoons. So maybe later in the hour or the next hour we'll hear a few of those.
That's weird.
But I picked out some New Orleans, Louisiana themed songs. I thought that would be in your honor. So we might hear some of those later on.
Yeah. By the way, I was looking at a video when you called today. I totally forgot about the show when I get absorbed in work. Sometimes that happens. So thank goodness that I'm on the internet. But I did have an alarm, so I would have heard it eventually. But I was working on my video and I was looking at the comparisons. I'm doing a video on the danger and the possibility of Donald Trump being assassinated,
which is a worry.
It is a big worry because we know that the Jewish history is that they have been the world's, not only they've been pound for pound the greatest progenitors of the slave trade. I mean, they run the slave trade for the last 2,000 years. The world champions in slave trade. This tiny population and many other vices. They've also been like the champions pound for pound of assassination from the Western world. It seems like they have a very disproportionate number of the assassins, political assassinations of our times under communism.
And I think as Donald Trump selects a vice president, that really should be upmost in his mind. He does not want somebody who's going to be an assassination magnet, somebody who is a total shill.
Yeah. If he had someone like Rubio or Cruz or somebody like that, or a Jeb Bush type,
Yeah, I'm not expecting much from his vice president. I'm assuming somebody will be perfectly awful from my point of view. But as long as it's not an assassination magnet, all I want.
I think he needs somebody very strongly for his program, very strongly against the neocons. I mean, we know the Mossad is used to doing about anything they want to do. We know for a fact that they committed terrorism. They literally bombing terrorism against America, as you know, in the Levant affair. We've talked about it many times on my show. It's funny how no other political figure other than David Duke, well-known anyway, or very well-known political figure, ever talks about Israeli terrorism against America, yet the Israeli government did that bombing. They were caught red-handed, and the Israeli government came clean. They had to admit it because they were caught red-handed. They had 14 of their agents caught blowing up American installations in Egypt, trying to blame this on the Egyptians. They ultimately said, yes, we did it. Our government did it. It was our defense chief, Mr. Levon. But the media wiped it under the rug. Then we had, of course, the attack on the Liberty, USS Liberty, which killed 34 Americans, wounded 178, a horrific attack, dropping napalm on our boys, torpedoes into the ship, even machine gunning the life rafts, trying to first knock out the radio microphone, the radio antenna, because they were intended, I think, for sure, to knock the ship out and kill everybody on board and blame it on the Egyptians. And then, of course, you had, and by the way, the Secretary of State at the time, we've said this many times, but I want all of our people to learn these things so they can share them with their friends, relatives, family. Dean Rusk, one of the most respected Secretary of States in American history, said, till the day he died, he said, and he was available to all the intelligence, all the facts at the time, he said this was a deliberate, dastardly attack by Israel, purposeful attack against the United States of America. Also, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, which is our top military officer, and he had access to all the intercepts, of our intelligence ships, which is one thing the Liberty does, by the way, communications with Israeli fighters and the whole bit and the Israeli government. And they said this was absolutely, there's no doubt about it, it was an Israeli purposeful terrorist attack against America. So they would do this. There are a lot of questions around the Kennedy assassination. There was a very good book by a good friend of mine, Michael Collins Piper, that deals with that question. A lot of questions about that. A lot of very strange, a lot of Jewish connections, including the guy that silenced Oswald, by the way, was Jack Ruby, named Rubenstein, who was a Jewish organized criminal. You know, it's very odd that, that this happened when it did. And this guy, and he was also suffering from a fatal case of cancer at the time. He knew he was going to die. So it's kind of interesting when you start looking into all these things, and I'm really worried about Donald Trump's life.
Okay, well, we have another break. Continue our discussion after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Show a little bit of Dixieland. We're here with Dr. David Duke, and we're just talking during the break that you know, things are getting so strange. And you know, Dr. Duke and I have we came to a very similar viewpoint, but from very different paths. And I think that a lot of people are looking around. Things have gotten so strange, so bizarre. You know, so unimaginable from anybody's viewpoint, say 30 or 40 years ago. You couldn't have, you know, told anybody that, 30, 40 years from now, there's no such, you know, race is a social construct. Gender is a social construct. People should just be able to go into any bathroom that they want, and that the majority population wouldn't
especially
just be
men,
that.
Yeah, men can dress up like women. You know, can go into any bathroom they want.
Put on a wig and maybe some a blouse, and you can go anywhere you want. Nobody would have imagined that. I mean, the world is really turned upside down, and a lot of people are looking around at all sorts of things. And the wars, you know, this permanent wars for what? For you know, for nobody can say, although we know what it's for. It's
a lot,
you know,
worse than nothing. Donald Trump the other day said that the war in the Middle East was a war for nothing. But, you know, but actually it was a lot worse than nothing. I mean, there were 400,000 Americans who were injured and hurt and brain damaged by these wars. And, there are many suicides every day. There are veterans every day committing suicide from the conditions and what they went through in those wars. We spent $4 trillion. And one thing Trump doesn't talk about, but we have to always continue to push the conversation, is that this $4 trillion, these were wars for Israel. And all this carnage, and not only of our troops, but of those people, the horrors, the rise of ISIS, this was all a result of the Jewish control over our foreign policy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you go back to 1965, to the 1965 Immigration Act, and at the time, during when it was being debated in the Congress, they were saying, oh, it's not going to have any impact on the demographic makeup of the United States. And then, of course, it turned out to, and you know, so you see over the next decades, you see this demographic shift. And then they say, well, oh, but it's okay because the new people who are coming, they're just going to be Americans. They're just going to be like everybody else, and they're going to have the same values. And
they're going to assimilate. You know, and
they're going to assimilate. It's going to be no different from German or Irish or Scottish immigrants of, you know, decades past.
They're going to love America.
Yeah, and now a lot of people, yeah, they'll be like us. And a lot of people bought that and say, okay, they'll be like us. I have no problem with it. But they're being, you know, whether they or not they could be like us, they're certainly being trained. They're certainly being indoctrinated to hate the majority population. And, you know, we were talking about this in the first segment.
Who could be doing that, doctor? Who could possibly be, you know, actually trying to instill into these people or come into this country hatred of the white people?
I don't know. I mean,
possibly be doing that. I can't.
Kill white people and get paid for it. What's not to like about that? You know,
Who could these people be? I mean, who are all the, yeah, who does run the media? Oh yeah, it's those Arab guys. That's what.
That's right. It's the Arabs because we know because there was a movie in the 1970s written and produced by Jews, and it said that it was the Arabs who were taking over the media. So,
that was a Jewish movie by a, it's like here's these people from this major Jewish studio, a Jewish director Paddy Chayefsky, I think work. Jewish writer of the movie, total Jewish theme. You had a guy talking about the terrible things that are going wrong in the country, and we find out in the end that it's because the Arabs were running the economy of America, and that's who was doing all this mischief and destroying American news and television. Mm-hmm. Nothing about the Jews, who are this tiny percentage that control all this and garbage. It's crazy.
Now, there are a lot of people who don't like to have the demographics turned on its head in a generation or two, and that's perfectly understandable. I mean, from an evolutionary point of view, that is completely sensible.
Well, what people in the world would celebrate it?
Well, I mean, there are people who are indoctrinated, but even then. If you're led to believe that it's just going to be a nice, happy transformation, we'll all have nice, tasty restaurants to eat at, and it's all going to be happy. And if you accept that, fine. But a lot of these people are looking around and saying, wait a minute, you got, how about in Costa Mesa last week, just because Donald Trump wants to enforce the 1965
Bill, that we are
have.
You still there?
You have people jumping on police cars, smashing the windows, waving Mexican flags. You've got all of the. It's not, if it was leading to a
attack
nice, happy,
people,
smiley multiculturalism, a lot of people would be willing to accept it. But that's obviously not where it's going. There's all this hate, and it's directed one way. And then you have somebody like Andrew Anglin, who, he is reaching a lot of people, and it's worthy of note that if you go to the Daily Storm and you look at the bottom of the page, I mean, the top of the page might say total fascism or something like that. You go to the bottom of the page and it says that he rejects any violence, and anybody who's calling for violence and using his webpage to call for violence in the comment section or anything like that will be banned permanently. He's very transparent that this is satire. This is trolling. Yet, he's talked about, he was talked about on CNN this past week as you were as well, but he was talked about, because he's trolling this, woman who wrote the scathing article about Empress Melania, Donald Trump's wife, Empress Melania, as he refers to her. And, so he takes, a picture of the woman who wrote it and uses Photoshop and superimposes it on a lampshade or on, things like that. He is, it's not the type of thing I would do. It's not the type of thing, because
it's the kind of thing that the Daily Show does. It's the kind
of thing. It is the type of thing that the Daily Show does.
The kind of thing that Saturday Night Live does.
Saturday Night Live, get to kill white people.
They really.
What's not to like about that?
Oh, they have their enemies and stuff eating literally cow manure and stuff, by accident. The Jewish media. Look at the Borat movies. This is a guy I really despise anyway, is Newt Gingrich. But Borat goes in there and he does an interview. And Borat is, he fools the guy, or his office fools the guy and says he really is a foreigner from Kazakhstan or wherever. He gives this guy this cheese, from the country. He's supposed to be an official from this country. So... Newt Gingrich is eating the cheese, and then he says, "Oh yes, this is the finest cheese. It was very, very good cheese made from my wife's breast." And he shows this like flea bitten woman, this fat, nasty, dirty, filthy woman of Kazakhstan, and suggests to Gingrich that he's eating her breast milk made into cheese.
So they
have their nerve to talk about, but here's the thing, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. By the way, well, I wanted to bring
it's
up.
It's not. It's hateful if it's from the gander. It's hateful. It's hateful, yeah. And it should be banned. And you know, this is the woman who had written the scathing article about Empress Melania. She wants laws changed because she says she fled. She fled to the United States because of anti-Semitism.
Where
in, you know,
she from?
In Russia. She came here from Russia or from the Ukraine in 1990. And look what happened during the 1990s. Who did what to whom in the 1990s? You had the demographic collapse of Russia, and the same thing happened in the Ukraine, where you had the Jewish financial capital, the international financial capital, hooking up with Jews who had been connected with the establishment in the old Soviet Union and became the oligarchs. They took over all of the industry, all the valuable industries, and left the rest of the country impoverished, and you had millions of people starving, or freezing, or committing suicide, or dying.
Are you talking about Russia, or are you talking about the United States of America, the Jewish oligarchs taking over?
Well, I'm talking about Russia, but of course now, you know, look at the big increase in death rates among middle-aged white people. Yeah. And, you know, you've got, it's, some of it's diabetes, which, you know, we know who's, pushing all of the bizarre dietary habits, but a lot of it's alcoholism. A lot of it is heroin related. Where's the heroin coming from? It's because of that Zio invasion of Afghanistan. And you know, a lot of it's suicide. It's desperation.
Well, the stuff that relates back to the Jews is absolutely crazy. Oh, by the way, I wanted to talk about, I missed something earlier when I was talking to you that's important. As you know, I'm really trained as an historian, I guess. That's what my graduate degrees are in. But, it's interesting to look at the history. I served in the course of the House of Representatives, and my desk, in fact, was just a few paces from the place where one of the most famous men of American history, a Louisianian, a famous Louisianian, was shot and killed, assassinated, actually. And his name, of course, was Huey Long. And even some people have noted that, I guess, the most famous Louisianian other than Huey Long was a lot more known than the governor of the state, Edwin Edwards, who later became governor and sold the state out when the state political establishment said, vote for the crook, it's important. But Huey Long is a very interesting case because, to me, it's the closest case paralleling Trump's rise. Of course, he came out of the political issue, but he wasn't a billionaire. But he, the interesting thing is, he was a populist. He was a nationalist, and his whole campaign was based on empowering the average people again, the middle class people of Louisiana. He literally did so many things that helped the people of Louisiana. A lot of kids, a lot of poor people, a lot of poor farmers, and all that. The kids couldn't even have textbooks because they had to pay for the textbooks, and they were very expensive. They'd be the equivalent of hundreds of dollars a piece in today's money, because back then it was much more expensive. And he built roads where people couldn't even get from one place to the other very easy if they got sick or if they needed to go to a hospital. He built hospitals that gave people incredibly improved medical care. He built bridges over the Mississippi River where people could cross over without having to wait for a ferry for many hours, and people were connected to the world again. He built a tremendous infrastructure, one of the most beautiful capitals in the world. And while the rest of the country was struggling horribly with the depression, everything wasn't roses in Louisiana. Louisiana had one of the lowest unemployment rates. Louisiana had one of the best standards of living. His populist programs really worked. And he was signed up. He was working with three famous people in America to build a multi-million person organization. He literally had raised millions of dollars for a race for president. He could have outspent probably Roosevelt. He had so many supporters. They did a Share the Wealth Club, which is a national club. And then they did, he was also close to Father Coughlin. Father Coughlin, for those of you who don't know who he was a Catholic priest. He was called the Fighting Catholic Priest. A very hardcore, conservative, traditional Catholic priest who every day in his sermons, coast to coast, had the most listened to radio show on the air. And every day he exposed the Jewish extremists who were taking over America, in the process of taking over America during this time in the 1930s. And he warned about this, and he talked about their role in the pornographic industry, and take over the film industry, all the things you're talking about, taking over the economy, controlling and corrupting politics. And then the other person that was involved with this was Townsend, who was another right winger, was also considered an anti-Semite, unquote. And there was also Gerald K. Smith. And Gerald K. Smith was a very famous preacher, evangelical Protestant. So here's a Protestant, very strong teacher against the Jewish issue. He later went to Searcy, Arkansas, his Church of Christ, and he was Long's right-hand man. And here you had a Catholic priest. So the Catholic Protestants and the Catholics and Protestants were coming together, understanding the Jews were the biggest danger for America. Huey Long was at the pinnacle of this thing, and the Jews decided he had to be stopped. Roosevelt had decided he had to be stopped because he was liable to beat Roosevelt. And by the way, this was a countryman, very low educated, but he actually was self-educated. He studied well. He spoke incredibly. Norman Thomas said at the Democratic Convention, he never saw a person give a powerful, a legal brief and an argument in their life.
Norm Thomas, the socialist perennial presidential candidate.
No, I was talking about Lowell Thomas.
Lowell Thomas, okay.
The broadcaster.
Lowell Thomas.
And he should know who gives a great speech. But anyway, so he was shot just a few paces from where my desk is. Of course, that was long before I was sitting there. But he was shot there. They still have the bullet holes in the marble. And the marble is beautiful capital that he built. And the Louisiana State Capitol building, the inside is one of those beautiful capitals anywhere in the world, by the way, that Huey Long built. Beautiful art and sculpture and so forth. And he was shot, of course, by one of the usual suspects, and he was a Jewish guy by the name of Weiss. You know,
really?
I
did not know that connection.
A radical Jewish doctor is what he was.
Did you see the movie Huey that starred John Goodman?
Oh, disgusting film! But they're all disgusting about Huey. They're all horrible. You know, they used Huey Long as almost like a Hitler, even before Hitler. You know, they did some novels about Huey Long, of course. The Jews had made Hollywood productions with Eddie Stark that was like the pseudonym back then. The legal laws were a little tougher. And they just made Huey Long out to be the worst person in the world. But the truth is, anybody in Louisiana can tell you that Huey Long did more for the people of Louisiana and the quality of life people than anybody that ever came before him or since.
Mm-hmm. And so now you have Donald Trump, who, you know, for all his quirks and foibles, he's come on the scene in a way that nobody could have foreseen, and maybe nobody else could have, because of his celebrity, because of his fortune, he's able to do bypasses around the Zionist funders and the Zionist the media moguls, and it's amazing, and the Zionists are completely freaking out, and it's just been kind of a treat to watch people like David Brooks just say, well, I got it wrong. I don't know. I just don't know what's going on. And they're dumbfounded. And of course, Cruz was supposed to be the firewall, and that's kind of fallen apart. And the brokered convention was going to be a firewall, and that's looking pretty undoable. You know, there's still the general election. There's still the election in the Electoral College, which if the general election is at all close, that could become a factor. And then, of course, there is what you were mentioning, the possibility of an assassination, should he actually be inaugurated, or the assassination.
Like I said the other day, even though, of course, he's not going to do that, but my gosh, I mean, the best life insurance policy he could have is a very hardcore guy, maybe like a Walt, you know, from Walt Mersheimer's book, you know, or Patrick Buchanan, or even a David Duke. I'll tell you,
you'd be pretty good insurance, that's for sure.
If I was named as vice presidential candidate, I tell you something, I think these Jews who put their own mother in front of them to protect them, if I was a heartbeat away from the presidency, they wouldn't touch a hair on his head. But there's so many things that he said which are so great. I mean, he's talked about the need to build a wall. We got to take our country back. You can't have a country unless you have a border. He talked about, he's been absolutely opposed to interventionism. This today on our show today on my program this morning, we talked about the quotations from Jonah Goldberg, you know, the senior editor at National Review, these Jews talking about how that they're supporting Hillary and that Hillary is an interventionist, and that's good, right? And all this, and just amazing the good things he said. He said some things I really don't like as well, but probably the best thing about Donald Trump probably is the fact that he absolutely represents a movement that's not even unspoken.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have one more break coming up, and we'll finish up on that thought after the break.
Oh, we have time after this break, huh?
Well, everybody's heard about the bird.
The bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. The bird is a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. Well, the bird is a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird.
And welcome back to the show. This is the Alternative Media with your host, Patrick Slattery, and our special guest, Dr. David Duke, who has agreed to stay on for a little bit longer in the second hour, at least up till the first break.
Yeah.
So we were talking about Huey Long and the comparison with Donald Trump. We only have a couple minutes before the top of the hour, but you know, you were talking about getting a vice president, and how is he going to? He says he wants somebody with political experience, congressional experience, and of course, you know, they've been so kosher, so Zionized. Is there anybody he can select who's going to be at all assassination insurance for him?
Well, the truth is, he doesn't need that. I mean, my political experience tells me that he doesn't need that, and most of these people not necessarily have congressional experience, because he's going to have aides in there who've been working with the Congress before. He's can work directly with the congressional leadership. And with a party leadership, he can go directly to the, you know, if the president of the United States supports a certain person or not a person for a leadership position in the party, they're going to be listened to.
Yeah.
Because they know that the president of the United States has the ability to point them to any position, to help them in their political races, to raise money for anything. So, you don't really need that. What he really needs, in my opinion, is a guy who is going to really back him up on his ideology, who can really be a point man. Kind of like Biden does for Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. He kind of fights his ideological battles, and that's what you need. He needs somebody who's going to stand up for what I would call the Trump doctrine. I think that's what he has to have. And if he gets one of these politicians in there who's one of the establishment people, you know, I think the guy might well be dead in a few months. I'm not kidding. I hate to say to be so conspiratorial and so negative, but these Jews are tough people, you know, that he's got to kind of start to build a firewall, you might say, around himself as president.
Right. Well, you know, George W. Bush was disliked by a lot of people, but the people who disliked him disliked Cheney that much more. And, Cheney was pretty good insurance for President Bush, I think. You know, Biden maybe not to the same extent, but Trump definitely needs, because Trump is so different. Trump is a revolution. I mean, it's just such a departure from the plan. I mean, there was basically a plan.
You gotta realize, like, those are people that would not like a Cheney or not like a Bush. You know, normal people don't like them because they're selling out the country or something. But you understand, these Jewish extremists are the most hateful, bloodthirsty, murderous, genocidal maniac. Look at the wars. Look at what they've been doing. They're the most evil, corrupt, murderous, damaging people, hateful people in the world. And that's a real problem when you got people like that who are your biggest enemies. It's one thing to have an enemy of the next door neighbor, you know, niece down the street who doesn't like you. It's another thing to have the head of the mafia down the street who murders people every other week. You know, really hate your guts, right?
Yeah.
That's what Donald Trump's facing.
But their powers, they're so vulnerable because it's premised on people not being able to talk about their power. And with, you know, what we're able to talk about and what people like Andrew Anglin are able to with their troll army to knock down these barriers of political correctness.
The world's changing.
That is such yeah, that's the real threat to them. That's the real
big threat. And well,
being able to talk.
And a president in a bully pulpit, that's what they say. You know, that Teddy Roosevelt came with that. The president in the bully pulpit is a tremendous way. When a president gets up and speaks, the whole nation stops and listens. I mean, he interrupts all mainstream television just to call an address to the American people.
And did you notice in the list of his top priorities, what he plans to do during his first 100 days, he had audit the Fed in there. Out of, you know, five or six items, you know, design the wall and a couple other things, and then yet audit the Fed,
that's amazing. He comes up with a lot of great stuff. He says a lot of stuff I don't like, but my God, we can't do any worse, you know, than the people we got there right now on the other.
But okay, we will be back at the top of. Yeah. Yeah, we'll be back at the top of the hour, just about a minute from now, and we'll have a new guest as joining us, Dr. David.